This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Cure for Anxiety, was delivered on May 3rd, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Well, good morning, my family. I cannot wait to the day that we can physically meet again. I've been anxiously waiting for that day, and I just hope it comes soon. But you know, we still must go out, we must get the word out, and we must we still got some expenses paying our bills and stuff, so we do still receive tithes and offerings, and you can give three ways. And if New Hope East Hawaii is your home church, then give. But if you have a home church, then take your tithe to your storehouse where it truly belongs. All right. So you can give by texting NHHI to 808-793-5588. Or you can go to our New Hope East Hawaii .com website, and on the top there's going to be a blue bar and it says give online. You can do that and it'll take you straight to here, or you can be someone like the people like old school. You can, you know, lick the envelope, stamp it, and throw it in the mail, and we still have people do that, so you can do that. Our address is right there, HCR2 box 6617 KL Hawaii 96749. So you can give that way. And then I'm going to pray right now over our offering. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for those of who are able to still give. We ask that you would continue to bless all those, our members, and even beyond, wherever this video goes out to. Bless the gift, bless the giver, that you know we can use these tithes and offerings to put out these videos to reach even further than our church walls, but to the mainland, to wherever they have an internet connection, these videos will go out, and that people would come to know you, receive you, seek you, love you, trust you, and put their faith in you. So we thank you that we get the ability to give. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hey, I don't know if those of you, maybe you got your stimulus checks. I'm still one of those who are waiting, and it's no big deal because I trust God. And if God sees that I need it, he'll give it to me. If God sees I doesn't need it, then, you know, maybe it'll go to somebody else. So whatever it is, and not so worried about it. But, you know, during this time, I think there's a lot of anxiety going on. We're anxious because we're not sure what's happening. And I get some of those moments, and there were some nights that I just cannot sleep. And those nights that I cannot sleep, I believe God wants to speak, so I kind of stay up. And I know the one time when I was a young Christian, I made this big mistake because I couldn't sleep. I was away at a conference, and I had long days from 8 in the morning to like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And it was like after 11 o'clock at night, and I tossing and turning. I was anxious. And I got up, and I said, this is my big mistake. I said, Lord, if you're going to speak to me because you're keeping me up, you better have something good to say. Big mistake. So I was doing my devotions, and because I was so anxious, right? And I was reading the part where Jesus was telling Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then he said, then feed my sheep. I was like, holy smoke, shoots, I shouldn't have said that. That's, I think, when I received my calling to do this, and I was like, never again, if I get up in the middle of the night and say, Lord, you better have something good to say to me. I just shut up, read my Bible, and listen. So if you're anxious and you cannot sleep, don't say, Lord, you better have something good to say. Just read your Bible and listen. Whew. Yeah, that was a tough lesson, and I never do that anymore. I just get up and I listen if I'm anxious and I cannot sleep. So here it is, okay, the cure for anxiety. Billy Graham said this: historians will probably call our era the age of anxiety. Anxiety is a natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and His will for us. So if your hopes are centered on your check, getting in your check in the mail, or anything short of God's will, you'll probably be anxious. So what is anxiety? You know, and it's like a feeling of worry, nervousness. I had a cup of coffee before I came up here, and so I was like bouncing because I don't usually drink coffee. And I was like running around my office. My heart is racing. And I was like, okay, 8:32, 8:39, 8:43. And then Shelby goes, it's 8:44. It's like, okay. So I was running around, nervousness, you know. Anxious can be unease, typically about something that we are uncertain about the outcome, like this COVID-19. We are not certain about the outcome, so we might have some anxiousness. It can be distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear or danger of misfortune. So that's what anxiety is, and what causes it. I think one of the things that causes anxiety is fear of the unknown. You know, fear of how are we going to get forward from here? What is it going to be like? Or stress from work. I mean, a lot of you get stressed from work. I used to get stressed from work. And the stress from work was, it did me so much good because it made me do my devotions every single day, because I knew if I didn't do it and I went to work, I wouldn't be able to handle the hammering I got at work and the slamming I got at work, because I got it bad. But you know what? Because I did my devotions, that's what it taught me, to do my devotions, you know, the stress from work. So in that period of year, of that stressful year, I got through it because it caused me to read my Bible. What causes it? Anxiety? Major events, man. We're in a major event right now. Lack of something. Maybe you're lacking a paycheck. Maybe you're lacking food. But maybe you're lacking faith. You know, maybe that's what causes anxiety. But here it is. I believe the devil uses anxiety like a cancer. You know, it takes over our thoughts and it drags us down into a deep darkness. But I also believe that God wants so much more from us than we're going through life in fear and worry and anxiety. Because we know in Timothy that he writes that God does not give us the spirit of fear. So if you have fear of this event that we're in now, understand that that's not from God. That's the devil making you fear. But if you have your Bibles, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is one of those that I think in everybody's Bible, it should be highlighted, marked up, make notes on the side, and everything. Philippians 4 is one of those verses that would encourage us, would help us. I mean, pretty much if you just looked at this every day, it will help you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Or if you separate it, be anxious for nothing. Nothing, nothing, be anxious. Sometimes we get anxious because I know my wife, she would get anxious if I told her I'm taking you to Disneyland. She would pack 2 weeks early. She is so on it. I mean, I would be anxious if James said, hey, let's go fishing tomorrow. Like, oh, I cannot wait. But I mean, think some just like bad anxious, good anxious, I believe. You know, bad anxious is like we worry, because we don't know what's going to happen with this COVID-19. But it says, be anxious for nothing. Even good things, I guess, you cannot be anxious for it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, let Him know what you need. This is what I tell Lord. I really, really need to get back to fellowship with my brothers and sisters, because I'm a people person. I love getting together. I love seeing the men. I love giving them hugs, high fives, you know. That's what my prayer is. And with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So I am thankful that even if I cannot hug you physically, I can hug you online. I can broadcast this, and I wish I could see you. You can see me, but I can't see you, so it's like sad. And I know I do Zoom meetings with other people, and sometimes because it's so early in the morning, I know this one of our good lady friends, she joins our Zoom meeting, but her camera is not on because it's very early in the morning. So, hey, you know who you are. I wish I could see your face, but you turn off your camera. So when you do that, in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of times you read this, verse 6 and 7, and we're kind of like, wow, that's great. It's good. It's a good word to help us with anxiety. But go turn down to verse 8. Finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Just think about it. Think about, you know, what is good during this season? What is good of being in quarantine? What is good? You get to spend time with your spouse. And for your wives, what is good? I bet you would say, oh, there's no sports on TV. I get my husband all to myself. What is good? I get to have more breakfasts with my wife. What is good? I get to spend more time reading and studying. What is good? I still get to share the word with all of you. And I think if we list the good and the not so good, I think our blessing and our good list will be far greater than our not so good. But whatever is good, God is still God. That's good. Dwell on these things. In other words, dwell on God. Paul tells us to reprogram our mind and our thoughts to what are true, honorable, right, lovely, pure, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. We gotta replace our harmful input with good stuff. We cannot dwell on the woe is me. Woe is me. I never get my stimulus check yet. It's all right. Woe is me. I'm at home. Now I gotta do all my house projects. That's terrific. So when we get out of this COVID-19, husbands, your honey-do list is going to be gone because you're going to have honey-done list now. Amen? So we got to replace the harmful input with wholesome material. Takes practice, but it can be done. Here is, if you're following along, and if you got your notes, which you can get online on our latest news on our website, the number one truth is God is in control. God, if you have any doubts of what's going to happen, understand this, that God is God and God is in control. He always was and always will be in control. Even if maybe my life, your life may feel like it's out of control, God is in control. And a lot of times, you and I, we forget. And we worry, we fret, we get mad because we forget that God is in control. In Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. So during that last week in March, man, when I have never in any of my thoughts that I would have thought that any of this would ever happen. When this virus started to spread from China to Washington to New York, never in any way I thought that the government would tell us, okay, we cannot meet. And then when it first came out, it said, okay, no more groups larger than 50. So then I thought, okay, how can we do this? We can do two services, or we can do one service for those who cannot connect electronically to us, and then one service for those who can. So we can do maybe 50-50. So I was okay with the 50 thing. And then like a day later, they said 10. It's like, seriously, 10? Come on. And then poor thing for Brother Joe Lyman, he got 14 in his house. So he said he had to kick out 4. So it's like, I don't know, man. Joe, what, did you put him in tents? Or you made him sleep in the car? I was willing to take 4. And, you know, they said 10. You said 10. And then things just changed. It just changed. Like, you know, from that last 2 weeks or more, everything just changed. And then, okay, we had to really think quickly. We had anxiety. I had anxiety because, like, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And, you know, I could have said, okay, well, done deal. We cannot meet. Sorry, pal. End of story. That wasn't an option for me. You know, that wasn't anything that I considered doing, was shutting down. I could not do that. As you know, I'm not a very technical guy. Sometimes I have a hard time finding the on button for the computer. And it was very challenging. So I prayed, and we got help. We got technical guys who came to help us, to the point where from the first one we did with my iPhone and the sound was bad, you guys told me you couldn't hear, to the time when, remember when the phone wouldn't switch and you guys were just like trying to watch this way. So because God sent just some wonderful, wonderful people to help us, we got the sound to go from here straight into my iPad so you can hear. And it was like, okay, the devil was trying to separate us, to cut us off from connecting. And, you know, trying to figure out these technical things, for me, it was very stressful at times. One day I was sitting at my desk trying to figure out the Zoom thing. And I tried, and I tried, and I really got frustrated. And I needed to get this thing going so I could do some training with some of the people. And it was so frustrating that I think about 12 o'clock, I closed up my computer, I put it in my backpack, and I went home because I was at the end of it. I was like, oh, I was frustrated. And I was so frustrated that it just really drained my energy. I went home and I fell asleep, and I slept for like 2 hours solid. I never, ever get that kind of sleep. But that's the effect of the anxiety that it had on me. And so praying and asking for help, especially with the doing the online service, the Zoom, I went to see Ted, and Ted helped me with getting the Zoom thing going. So is getting better. A lot of praying, a lot of asking for help from our people in the church community. And I finally got better. But in Matthew 6:25, Jesus said this: "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" I like, if you have your Bible, underline that. "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life?" Man, if I was worried every day about getting a stimulus check, worry, I never get them. Oh, where's my check? Would that make it come faster? No. Would that make it any better by worrying? No. "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet, I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you will need all these things." Okay, and this is the clincher in Matthew 6:33. "But seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So you seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." How many of you know that every day gets its own problems? So if you try to worry about today's problems and tomorrow's problems, you'd be very worried. You'd be very worried, you'd be very drained, and your hair going to turn white like some people. So don't worry. Don't worry. In 1 Samuel 13:8, this is an example of one of these guys. He's having anxiety and he's stressing out. "Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, 'Bring me the burnt offering, the peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offerings. As soon as he finished offering the burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him." Okay, so here is it. King Saul, the first king of Israel, if you recall. The Philistine army is gathering, and the Israelite army, they were like having anxiety because they seen this big army coming, and they were frightened. And Samuel was a little bit late. And you kind of feel King Saul's anxiety. You know, there's a whole army of people ready to attack you. And your spiritual leader, the guy who's going to pray for you, tell you go or no go, is not there. And Saul was like, what am I going to do? These guys are ready to attack us. And all my followers, all my army is ready to dig out and leave me here. And so he was like anxious. So in that moment, he decided to take things in his own hands. And he made offerings to the Lord. The only problem was Saul wasn't qualified to do that. It was the duty of the priest, not the king. And rather than waiting for the priest, Saul offered the sacrifice himself. And this was against God's laws found in Deuteronomy 12. And against the specific instructions of Samuel. And under pressure from the approaching Philistines, he took matters into his own hands and he disobeyed God. He was trying to do a good thing, to offer sacrifices to God, but he did it in the wrong way. Maybe in this situation, we have a difficult time trusting God. Under pressure, maybe we have anxious moments. This is what happened to Saul in 1 Samuel 13:13. Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. I tell you what, man, when we're under stress and we're not consulting God, we act foolishly. We do stupid things. How many of you took all your money out of the bank account because of all this COVID-19? Yeah. You know, under stress, we do stupid things. He said, "You acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established a kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Man, if we try to do things on our own without God in anxious moments, it can have a really bad effects or results. And here's what: anxiety can cause panic attacks. You know, sometimes when I'm sleeping and I wake up early Sunday morning and realize it's Sunday, oh, I gotta preach, a brief panic attack covers me until I start praying. It's like, "Lord, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you." Anxiety can cause fatigue, and it happened to me. Anxiety can cause depression. Anxiety can cause your blood pressure to go up. You know, breathing problems. How many of you like get panic attacks, or maybe even a headache? Just to name a few things which anxiety can cause. And I tell you what, I think anxiety, like doubt and fear and jealousy, I think, you know, if you look in the devil's, if he had a storage room like me, that would be full of tools. If you would open the devil's tool room, you say, "Oh, look, there's the doubt tool hanging, the fear tool, the anxiety tool, the jealousy." And these are all tools of the devil that he will use to attack you. Especially since now we are in quarantine, you know. So I encourage you to get connected through our social media. We connect from afar. So here's the thing, number two: we need to change our thinking. And I said this many times, we got to change the way we think. And again, Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." And keep going to verse 8. Change the way we think. You know, when we can trust God and understand that, hey, God is in control, we can have peace, we can have confident assurance, we can have boldness. And then the last point, 3, we need to have a little faith. I mean, we don't have to have like giant faith. We just need to have a little faith. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character. He is who he says he is. Believing in his promises. He will do what he says he will do. When we believe that God will fulfill his promises, even though we don't see it, we don't see it materializing. But that's when we start demonstrating true faith. In Luke 17:5-6, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed," if you see the mustard seed, you know, in the spice section in the store, It's like the size of a BB. And if you was to get that BB and you toss it someplace in your house, you probably lose it. And we just needed that little faith, like the size of a mustard seed. You would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What is faith? It is our complete trust and loyalty to God that can result in our willingness to do His will. Faith is not something that we put on to show for others. You know, like say I was fishing and it was like really, really, really pounding rough. And I say, watch my faith, I'm going to go pick opihi. That's not faith, it's stupidity. Faith is not something we use to put on a show for others. It's a complete humble and obedience to God's will. And being ready to do whatever He calls us to do. The amount of faith isn't as important as the right kind of faith. Faith in God. Here's something that I really want you to try. Next time you have an anxious moment and you understand and you realize where it comes from, the devil, try and pray. Thank God for what you have. Try and change your thinking. Think of something else. For me, I let you think that God is in control, and whatever happens, God will work things out for my good according to Romans 8:28. Because if I love God, you know, things will turn out good for those who are called according to His will and who love God. And my anxiety will not do anything to help the situation. You know, in this time, if there is something that you need, if there is an anxious moment, pray. And maybe if you need food, maybe you need one bag of rice, maybe you need somebody to go to the store for you. You know, maybe He can use one of your church family members to go and do that. But you got to ask. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given. Right? So, do that. Do that. Ask. Maybe you're anxious and you're not sure what's going to happen. Maybe you're anxious because you don't know if you're going to heaven or not. And I would like to give you that chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So, whether you're at home, wherever you may be, bow your heads with me and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you anywhere out there, whether you're part of this church or not, wherever or whenever you get this message, if you prayed that prayer, just type in some of the comments that I prayed it, and so that we can pray with you. And if you need more information on your walk with Jesus Christ, I have this Yes booklet, and I will gladly send it to you. Just send me your mailing address. You can either text it to me. You can find our phone number on the online giving on our online website, or you can text me at 808-936-6651. Send me your address. I'd love to get this to you. But we're going to get ready to take communion now. So if you guys got your grape juice or whatever kind of juice you got ready, we're going to do that. And then also, I really like to pray for you. So, You know, when we were meeting at church, you would fill out that form and we would pray over your prayer request. We would get the church council and we would pray for you. So, because we're not able to physically meet, you know, we're not able to do that. But if you have a prayer request, you know, I would say type it in on this Facebook page as we're doing this live and understand that the whole world's going to see it. So don't get too personal, you know, like really intimate kind of stuff, because you might not want to let that out for the world to see. But hey, if it's something like pray for my mother, pray for my brother, because I know when we pray, God knows what you need. But if you like, hey, if you're worried, pray that I would not worry. If you're anxious, pray that I'm not anxious. Pray for our country, pray for our prayer. If you need a prayer request, type it in. Type it in so that we can pray for you. We can pray with you. Do that as we get ready for communion so that we can pray for you. And you know what? I think it's great because if you do type in a prayer request, everyone who can look at these comments will be praying for you. How great is that? How great is that? Well, so we're going to be getting ready for communion. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So if you got bread, take your bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So if you have your bread, you may take of your bread. Huh? In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We do this so that we can remember what Jesus did for us and what he's still doing for us. You may take up the cup. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that even we are separated, we still can take communion together. And we can do this. And it's a reminder of what you did for us on the cross. You shed your blood. Your body was broken for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Thank you so much for this reminder that you died for us. We have value because of what you did for us. Lord, help us not to be anxious for anything. We are grateful that we still get to meet from a distance. We thank you and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people, everyone out there said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, so if you have any anxious moments, hey, just follow these steps, pray. And so next week, we're going to do some more trivia. You better study hard so you can get in ahead of Walt and Vivian and Carlin and Joel because they got the answers. So maybe we should try to find some trivia questions from our daily devotions, huh? You know, what we read every week on your reading plan. That way, if you do your devotions every day of the week, you will know the answer. I think I'll do that. I'll challenge you. So if you don't have the reading plan, you can go to newhopeeasthawaii.com, our website, and then there's a link that says Bible Reading Plan. You can read, you can follow along. That way, when we ask our trivia questions, you'll be able to, like, yeah, I just read that. What was the answer? But do that. I'm going to be closing by praying for you. Lord, thank you so much. And I pray that all of those who are hearing this message, they are in quarantine. Lord, you would keep them safe from the attacks of the enemy, how he attacks our thoughts and our minds. Keep us safe, Lord. Help us to stay connected through texting, through Zoom, through Facebook, whatever way it may be, through a phone call. Keep us connected. Keep us accountable. Lord, make us stronger in this season. Build us up so that when we get out of this season, we'll be closer to you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your love. I pray, Lord, for each one that this word reaches, that they would be strengthened through your word. We thank you and we praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Have a fantastic week. Have a great Sunday. And we'll see you here next week at 8:45 a.m. All right? Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii typically meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. During the quarantine, we are meeting online with Facebook Live. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.